with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are On the Line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 6th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a overcast day here in the Auburn Opelika area, but seems to be a little brighter outside for Auburn fans today than it has been in several days, because the transfer portal may have taketh, but the transfer portal has now giveth. We'll talk about that today as Auburn has their quarterback for the 2026 season. And the anxiety maybe is gone from Auburn fans, at least in that category. We'll talk about that breaking news on the show today. Plus, we'll zoom out and talk about some other portal news going on across college football and what the going rates are for transfer portal positions in this cycle. And it's remarkable to see what that looks like as well. Plus, some Auburn basketball conversations in there to end the show. Christian, happy Tuesday, sir. How are you?
Happy Tuesday. Yeah, you mentioned a little sigh of relief that everybody was able to breathe this morning. You feel like you've been waiting for it, and if you have your notifications on the same way that we do with Hayes and all of the guys that report all of the breaking news, just excuse me, just about every single time there is a tweet that says breaking, you look at it and it's okay, okay, dang it. Next one. Okay, dang it.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Oh, okay. Wow, that's a big name, but doesn't really affect us. Okay, any day now, and it finally came this morning, and my goodness, what a sigh of relief it was, but how exciting is it to know that QB1 is here, and not just QB1, but one of the most polished quarterbacks, one of the more decorated quarterbacks, and historic quarterbacks from a season ago. What a guy in Byron Brown. Coming with Alex Golish from South Florida, you're now seeing that offense kind of work its way around Brown. We'll talk about that here to start the show. You mentioned, man, the market values for some of these players, some of these just overall positions. I don't know why there's not that same type of market value for radio hosts or sports broadcasters right now.
Yeah, because, I tried.
I would take the bottom end of just about any of this right now if it means that I could just stand in front of another person and do it halfway decently, which may has been an issue for Auburn over the past couple of years. You mentioned other big-time names that are either in the portal or have found a new home or have returned. You feel like all three of those topics of conversation are something that come up just about every single day. News breaks by the hour, news breaks every single day. We're going to be able to talk all about that before we dive into just about an hour-long segment of college basketball here today as well. We're going to take a look at Auburn's basketball schedule. We'll dive into the SEC slate and kind of break it up into six games, the first six, the middle six, and the back six, and kind of talk about the realistic expectations. I realize the numbers. We might go 6-8 and, I don't know, 4 or something.
The gears are turning over there.
Just so that way we don't have that number that I just... not the 6-7, but the breaking into... So we might go 6-5-7 or something.
That's bad juju right there.
Yeah, it might be the better way to look at it. But give realistic expectations for those pairings, those groupings, and where would that put Auburn at the end of SEC play? Where would that put Auburn into the postseason? We'll also talk about some really, really good basketball games coming up tonight before we give a full 30-minute breakdown and preview of Auburn and Texas A&M, a brand new look to Texas A&M, and hopefully that could be the best news for the Auburn Tigers, because you feel like A&M, for some reason, was always that team in Buzz Williams that Auburn just couldn't find a way to beat, or couldn't find a way to look good, to play a clean game, even if it was inside Neville Arena. You felt like Buzz Williams in that three-piece or six-piece suit, whatever the case it was per night, just kind of had Auburn doing what he wanted it to do, and you couldn't get over the hump. So we'll see if Auburn can change that with a new style of Texas A&M basketball with Bucky McMillan, which is going to be basically the air raid of basketball. Just stand behind the three-point line.
Let it
and
fly.
See how many times you can try to find the bottom of the net. Otherwise, you get the offensive rebound, and you go from there. We're talking about all of that here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Yeah, it's loaded today. No guests, so phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show in any way, you are more than welcome to do so. We encourage you to do so by either calling or texting. You can call in at 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. If you want to call in, give us your thoughts on Auburn football in the transfer portal, your thought on Byron Brown, Auburn's new quarterback, or anything else going on in Auburn or the world of sports. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we do begin with the biggest news of the day. I don't know if this was the worst kept secret for Auburn because it took longer than people thought it would, right? But it was definitely a storyline that most people assumed would come to fruition. And Byron Brown, the South Florida quarterback transfer, 1 year of eligibility remaining. He is now on the Plains. He visited Auburn and he not just committed, Christian, he signed, which is a big deal. And we've already seen in this cycle, I forget which player it was, but I think it happened yesterday. There was a player in the transfer portal that committed to one P4 school and then flipped to another P4 school less than 24 hours later. So don't think it can't happen, even in the portal era, because it can.
Yeah, the word committed.
Right.
It's still scary.
So the idea that Byron Brown has signed with Auburn is a big deal. And now that it has, right, come to light and it is official, this is a big deal. This is a really big deal. You bring in a guy with several years of experience, one more year of eligibility. He threw for 3,100 yards this past season at South Florida, had 28 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions on the year, and the dude's got some size. 6'3", 230 is what he brings in, and his highlights just jump off the page, man. The film is awesome to watch. I've really started to dive into him and study what he does well and how he could fit, you want to say, Auburn's offense, but he's just playing the same offense. That's what's so good about this, right? Is the term Auburn offense doesn't really exist right now.
No.
Because you're bringing in a new head coach with an offensive mind and all of his offensive guys and a lot of the same offensive players as well. Byron Brown is your starting quarterback, most likely, for the 2026 season.
Yeah, it's the Alex Golish offense at Auburn. That's the way that it is phrased right now. And when you're top three, top five in the country in scoring and yards per game, and you've done that over multiple years, over multiple teams, whether that was as an offensive coordinator or whether that was as a head coach, Byron Brown has been the leader of this South Florida team. Over the last four seasons, almost 7,700 passing yards, 61 touchdowns, and then also running for over 2,200 yards in there as well, and 31 rushing touchdowns over the last four seasons at South Florida. It was huge for Alex Golish to be able to keep him at South Florida, and then obviously you've seen the playmaking ability, and what you mentioned, Jacob, is the highlights that he's able to put on the field, and you feel like over the past couple of years, when you're looking at highlights for Auburn, a lot of those are broken plays. And while, yes, Byron Brown can do that with his legs, can create and can turn something, or can turn nothing into something, but how nice is it to see that every highlight is not a broken play? It's not him running for his life and chucking the ball downfield on
a
busted coverage. He's the one that makes the play, or he's the one that makes a simple play look simple.
Yeah.
Which is, again, is something that you feel like you haven't seen. The ability that a highlight can be a three-step drop, making the right read and throwing the ball 45 yards over the safety and it just looking natural.
I compare this situation, not in terms of their style or their stats or their whatever the case may be, just the situation in itself. I compare this to when Jarrett Stidham committed to Auburn. You're talking about somebody who has had several years of experience, proven ability, lots of yards, lots of touchdowns, lots of highlights, and they're stepping in with all of that, and you feel like it's going to be pretty comfortable. Not identical by any means, and not apples to apples necessarily, right? Because Stidham stood into a new offense with a new coach, and there were ups and downs there compared to what Byron Brown's doing, and you hope that it's basically the same offense and same system, just wearing orange and blue instead of green and gold. But I compare that because this is the first time since Jarrett Stidham that Auburn has brought in an experienced quarterback with good numbers and several years of that being the case, right? Because after Jarrett Stidham, it was a freshman in Bo Nix. It was...
who had the accolades.
Yes.
In high school.
But you had no idea what it was going to be in college, right? You were then dealing with guys like TJ Finley and Robbie Ashford and guys who just weren't proven at this level, right? And guys that you just didn't know. And then even Jackson Arnold.
Who, again, had the accolades from high school but was a little bit more of a question mark.
Exactly. You are bringing in somebody who has proven for the first time since 2017.
Yeah.
That gives me confidence, Christian. It does. And by no means am I putting all of the expectations right now on the 6th of January and saying, yep, Byron Brown, that's it. He's the man. Put him in New York. He's going to win the Heisman. Auburn's making it to the college football playoffs.
Yeah, I remember when we said Auburn's schedule was tough. Well, we have Byron Brown now, so it is what it is.
I'm not going that far by any means, but I do feel better about this quarterback situation, at least for the starter, right? There's still a lot of question marks of what's going to happen behind him, but I feel really good about this. Probably the best I have felt for a starter since Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you're at the point now, if you're Alex Golish, which you've already done a really good job of bringing in the guys that he is very familiar with, especially the receiving core. You're maybe hoping for one more on that side of things. Otherwise, probably one or two other bigger name receivers, and we'll hopefully keep you updated. Auburn tweeted out the eyeball emoji with the Eagle about 15 minutes ago. So
they're not done.
That would be very nice. And again, Byron Brown and Alex Golish in that offense will sell itself too, which makes things that much more attractive for receivers, whether they're 1 year guys or whether they are multiple year guys, which again will help us in the high school rankings, which Alex Golish has repeatedly talked about wanting to dominate that 250 mile radius from Auburn, just because, again, that's where you still have to work out of, especially at this level and in this location where it's the best high school football in the country. But you now have your guy that, man, is proven, knows how to run your offense, right? You're not walking in here and they're being, okay, and we'll just using Jackson Arnold as the example, which I feel like this is why many people are in the same boat that we are, Jacob, with Arnold, of, man, you can't hate on Jackson for the unfortunate situations here, because you know that he's going to be a talented guy. And again, if he goes to UNLV, which he's crystal balled to, you know he's going to light it up.
I put Peyton Thorne in that category as well.
I 100% would put Peyton Thorne.
Because I know where you're going.
In that conversation. But they get to the Plains and they have the excitement, and then you walk into the offense and there's more question marks than there are periods, much less exclamation points. Mm-hmm. And you're having to figure everything out, not only in the spring or the summer or in the fall, but you're having to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do in October, in November,
from a week by week basis,
because it just changes, because there was absolutely no fluidity or there's no concrete ground of, man, this is the system that we run. We go back to the question that Eric asked us yesterday about, would you get the biggest stars in the portal or would you go handpick guys that fit your system? Alex Golish is now bringing in a polished system that has worked in multiple different areas, multiple different levels, and heck, even in the SEC. And now you're bringing that with one of, if not the best quarterback in the transfer portal, and one of the most polished, one of the most proven quarterbacks in college football to the Plains inside Jordan Hare in 2026.
Yeah, so Auburn fans, you can take a deep breath. It is okay. Your quarterback is secured. Byron Brown has committed and signed with Auburn, the South Florida quarterback from the transfer portal. We want to hear your thoughts. Are you excited about this? Are you in wait-and-see mode? Are you kind of going over the top here and very excited for what this could be? Are you concerned about this situation? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And you look at what Auburn has brought in, and again, the Tigers are not done, so don't think that this
nowhere,
is it.
Nowhere near.
And Auburn is going to make several more additions. But you look now, we talked yesterday, and since then, did we talk Jeremiah Koger on air yesterday?
Had
that already happened? Okay,
yes.
I thought
that
so.
That was one that happened, yeah, at like right before we went to break at like 3:30.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jeremiah Koger is a fun one, right? A USF quarterback or a USF wide receiver who's stepping in. Fred Gaskin, I think that one broke right as we were going off the air. I think when the drive was starting, a DB from South Florida. Now Byron Brown, the South Florida quarterback. And then one that broke today, one that will fly under the radar, no doubt about it. It's a guy that had one catch for 9 yards. Xavier Newsom, a Howard transfer tight end.
And defensive end.
Yeah, how about that?
Both.
Yeah, how about that? For a guy that has some good hands, I think, but he's also got the size as well. I think he's, what, 6'6", 230 or something like that?
Yeah, it was a 4-star recruit out of high school, too.
Right.
So, again, Auburn is at the point, and we should have prefaced this. We did a lot yesterday, but prefacing this, regardless of where the previous school is, Auburn is not at the point right now where you can turn your nose up at anybody.
No.
So there were comments of, this is who we're giving out. We're giving out scholarships to Howard players now. Like, that's not in the realm of possibilities or the realm of discussions right now, because Auburn is 5-7, 6-6, and 5-7.
And I think this gives the new staff and Alex Golish an opportunity
6-7
to prove themselves, right? I mean, it gives them a chance to go in. All right, you picked up a long snapper from Miami of Ohio. You picked up a tight end from Howard. And there are so many fans right now, even with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 South Florida players that have committed so far. There are fans that are saying, well, hope these G5 guys can hang in the SEC. Hope these G5 players can hang around in the P4. Okay. Good for you. You can't hang in the P4, the SEC. So how are you talking about these guys when you simply don't know what they can do at this level?
Or half the players you cheered for last year.
Yeah,
couldn't
exactly.
Do it.
And so,
and just throwing it out there, South Florida won in the Swamp last year.
South Florida won a lot more games than you did.
And in the Swamp. You won a game in Gainesville last year.
Yeah. When's the last time Auburn's done that? Been a while, right? And so my point to this as we get to break is, in this era of college football, and we had this discussion yesterday, and we will continue to have it, this era of college football, as aggravating as it is, as frustrating as it is, as annoying as it is, and as much crap as we talk about it, there are some bright spots in it. And this is one of them. This era allows some leniency with players like this, grabbing a Howard tight end who has one career catch in college, right? It gives Alex Golish, his new staff, and every other new staff and coach in college football, it gives them an opportunity to branch out and to experiment and possibly be right. Think about that. You have James Madison players who are about to win a national championship. You've got dudes from all over the country committing to Kentucky right now. So rather than poo-pooing on what Auburn is doing with random players and new players that maybe you haven't heard of before, why not be optimistic and positive and say, let's see how it goes. Let's see what the evaluation is of Alex Golish and his staff. Let's see what their grading system is, because clearly they see something in a guy like Xavier Newsom, who, again, has one catch as a tight end. They didn't go get him because he's a superstar. They didn't go get him because he was a super five-star and the greatest tight end ranked in the portal. No, they went and got him because they liked him. Because he fit what they want to run. He fits what they do on and off the field. And I think this era of college football has proven that works more than ever before. So maybe, just maybe, we should have a little grace and allow the new coach and the new coaching staff to do what they feel is right. And already, in the first, month? Less than a month that Golish has been here, I already feel like the vibes and the attention to detail and the effort is much different than the previous regime.
Plural.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Food for thought on this Tuesday. You're allowed to be excited about a guy like Byron Brown, but you can also be optimistic for a Xavier Newsom, who's a Howard tight end. And we just can see what happens. I don't know. Something to think about on this Tuesday. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more transfer portal. We have more things to discuss for Auburn, for college football, big names, and now big places, and big money follows them as well. We talk about that when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. A reminder that phone lines are open all show long. If you want to be a part of the program, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're going to get to the phone lines in just a moment. I do want to read a couple of texts that we have received over the last several minutes. That is in our On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Eric in Auburn says, how awesome is the idea of signing Byron Brown. Jackson, he says, Jackson Arnold last year was ranked 13th or 14th best quarterbacks in the SEC by most publications. Brown is automatically what? Second, third, top five in the SEC of a top quarterback going into next year, right? We know some of the returnees, Marcel Reed, he puts on here, Arch Manning, Trinidad Chambliss, if he gets his extra year of eligibility, right? Also, Austin Simmons going to Missouri.
Yeah.
Fascinating what that could be. And so, I don't know. I'd have to sit and think about where I would rank Byron Brown going into next year as an SEC quarterback.
That'll be a fun conversation once the portal closes.
No doubt about it, and we will definitely revisit that. If we forget, Eric, make sure you text us in a couple of weeks, and we will definitely circle back to that. Says, also needs to give Spectre his due. We've got to go and get an offensive line, and I believe that Spectre just texted us. Let me check. Yep, he did. I wish Brown all the luck in the world. He's going to need it, managing an offensive line that is yet to be put on the field, not to mention the brutal schedule. The bright side for him is he's here for 1 year. So he is a true 1 year rental. There's no doubt about it. He is a 1 year rental as Byron Brown.
Unless he just goes off and then just do what everybody else does and just demand another year,
sue when you don't get it, and come back for your 18th season of college football.
Easy enough, right?
I love it.
I love the idea of that. Yeah. That sounds,
everybody else is doing it. Why not you?
That sounds
so
fun.
Let's get
there,
to the
before so just saying before you do, there have been a lot of positive rumblings on the offensive line side of
been games. A lot of big visitors for sure.
Yeah,
Auburn has got to land some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have a quarterback
again,
that might help.
Byron Brown and Alex Golish in that offense should sell itself at least to an extent.
334-321-1390. What's going on, Terry? What's on your mind?
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going good. Well. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to y'all. You kind of stole my thunder there. I was just saying, as glad as I am to have Brown at Auburn, and as much success as I think you'll have, you got to put him behind a good offensive line. Yeah, Auburn has got to do that.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I'm glad to hear what you said about they're making progress. Christian, I think you said that. So
yes, yeah.
That's a plus sign.
Yeah, they're doing it from the high school guys. I know they got Bear McCorder, I believe, the Michigan signee that opted out of his NLI and now, again, signed with Auburn. And I know there's a couple guys from the Big Ten that got some all-Big Ten honors that are either planning on visiting or have already been to Auburn. So, yeah, some good positive directions. But, again, until you get those guys committed and signed, you don't feel like the overall consensus is overly positive until you get to that point.
Well, Jacob, maybe you can research this. What kind of offensive line did he play behind in South Florida?
A pretty good one.
What was this experience?
Yeah.
Because we know what kind of offensive line he's going to play behind at Auburn right now. Nothing.
Yeah. Experience, I'll have to double check on that, Terry, to see exactly what that looked like. But they were good. I mean, a guy that let me check and see how many times that he got sacked on the year.
They were 49th in the country. He was sacked 5% of his dropbacks compared to, oh gosh, let's see what Auburn's was. Auburn was dead last, if not bottom five.
He was sacked 16 times on the year. 4 of those came in the season opener. Terry. So the offensive line got better as the year went on. Sacks are obviously not the end-all be-all. There is much more than just if an offensive line gives up a sack or not, but that will at least give you an idea of what he was playing behind last year at South Florida.
Going back, showing a little bit of statistics, again, Byron Brown was sacked 5.25% of his dropbacks. Auburn quarterbacks were sacked almost 11%. So imagine cutting those sacks more than in half from last year.
Well, his mobility, I imagine he'll cut some in half.
Exactly.
You got to have a good offensive line. It's as simple as that.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. Terry, we appreciate the call, my friend. Always good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And as we are getting to break, it seems so obvious, right? It seems so obvious. Hey, just go sign offensive linemen. That's all you got to do, right? Problem is, they're kind of expensive. And you got to pay them. And there's 5 of them, in case you haven't counted recently.
That and the recency bias of being burned by a couple big-time portal linemen.
No doubt about it. I mentioned big visitors. An Alabama offensive tackle on campus today. How funny would that be? Auburn somewhat returns the favor if you pick up an Alabama player out of the transfer portal. That's just one of many P4 guys who have visited or scheduled visits coming up for Auburn. We'll talk more about the Tigers in the portal as we go, but we'll zoom out and talk about some of the big names and new places and the money it takes nowadays to sign big names. We talk about that coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into our number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we continue talking the transfer portal. And by the way, congrats on the first broadcast of the year last night, sir. Sounded good. Feel good?
I felt that it was the first one in a couple of weeks. It got to the point of every ninth word wasn't reaching my mouth the way that it reached my brain. But
yeah, been there.
Thankfully, the games weren't necessarily ones we had to worry about, which plays a big factor. But it was fun. Excited to be back in Sanford Gymnasium now. The girls for Lee Scott Academy moved to 10-7. The boys moved to 14-2 and winners in 10 straight. And so that's a really solid numbers. And again, both of those teams already 1-0 in area play too, which is a big factor playing that one game before the Christmas break where you feel like you have that leg up already, which allows another setup for a tune-up game somewhere in the regular season. I believe you have 2 or 3 more of those, but yeah, we were doing math on the Lee Scott Sports Network last night, and before that game, so I guess now looking at it today, we have 9 games in 24 days to wrap up January, and so it'll be a lot of fun. Lee Scott back at home taking on Dadeville in another area game this Friday, which will be really, really fun. But yeah, nice to get a couple of really nice wins in games that weren't overly stressful, but games that you know you still need a lot to work on, obviously. Mm. You could tell it was the first game for them in a couple weeks as well.
Sure.
I mean, with how fast, especially with how fast the guys' team and Coach William Johnson play the game of basketball, you had more subs than you usually did, which he runs a unique rotation, which we talk about a lot. But yeah, with how fast Lee Scott is, they were hands on hips just about every single every single time to the free throw line. You had the biting of jerseys every time in the second half, and so shaking off a little bit of the rust. I knew these guys and these girls are ready to get back into the full swing of things, and Friday should be a very fun event inside Sanford Gymnasium on Friday night against Dadeville.
Yeah, I'm back in action on Friday as well. Auburn High, they stayed busy over the Christmas break, traveling. The girls travel down to the state of Florida. The guys have competed in, you know, tons of different tournaments and events and things, and area play beginning for Auburn High as well.
You don't have that tune-up game.
No, I don't. Yeah, I've got to be locked in and ready to go Friday night where Central comes to town. It's the Red Devils and the Tigers inside of Auburn High School Gymnasium. That place will be packed. Man, it's a big gym already, and it will be a struggle to find somewhere just to even stand to watch this game. And so, area play begins Friday for Auburn High. Lee Scott will be on the air as well. Warriors over on Tiger Country 104.5 with Christian. I'll be on the air 96.3 W Lee on the Auburn High Sports Network. So, really excited for that. Be sure you download that Radio Alabama app. That's the best way to listen to us on the air for this show or our high school games or anything else we got going on. Download that Radio Alabama app, the best way for you to listen to everything that we have going on.
And the best part about that win streak for Lee Scott, I talked about the win over Beulah. I think there's another really good win that they had in that stretch as well.
Yeah, you guys beat somebody last night, right?
Yep.
That was a good win.
That was a good win. I think, yeah, that probably is the
– probably the best win of the year.
Probably the season-defining win.
I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, speaking of things that we air on the radio, we aired the FCS championship game last night.
Oh, it was incredible.
Did you see this? I know you were calling games and stuff on the air, but this thing ended pretty late last night.
I didn't know that it was in Nashville, too.
I didn't either until I was watching, listening, doing all the – I didn't know it was in Nashville either. It was at Vanderbilt Stadium. How awesome was that? The FCS National Championship game last night. Won't spend a ton of time on it, but oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
it goes to overtime and
you had a blocked PAT, you had a missed PAT. The story of Illinois State was so awesome and it was so close to happening. And then Montana State, shout out our buddy Christian Clemente, who is a big Montana State guy. He was there. He actually was able to travel and make that trip to Nashville, so good for him. That was awesome. We carried that on ESPN 106.7 last night, so in case you were unaware, that was a ton of fun in that one. But we continue talking the transfer portal, and we are going to zoom out a little bit, as we have promised for a day and a half, to look at what else is going on in the transfer portal. And I want to talk about big names that have gone other places or not returned, re-signed with their current teams.
Yeah, agreed to a new deal.
Agrees to a new deal. Re-signs with blah, blah, blah. Like the terminology, we're in professional football now. But I want to read you some numbers put out by the New York Times. And it is the market value. Remember that term that we started using a long time ago when the portal and NIL all started to become one big jumbled mess? Market value for a specific player, or more importantly, a specific position in college football. The New York Times put together an article that determined what it is, the market value per position right now in college football in the transfer portal, aka what it costs to buy a roster. And
To rent a roster.
Yeah, to rent a roster to compete. And we're going to get into some of the big schools and big things like Texas Tech, who have just opened up the checkbook and are buying every player that they could possibly get their hands on. Okay. But folks, listen to some of these numbers. It's out of this world. Put together by the New York Times. I'll work from the bottom up. This list isn't in sequential order, but I'll just kind of go defense to offense here. For a team that wants to, and I feel nasty saying it this way, but I don't know another way to say it. You're literally buying these players. You're purchasing them. You are, or like you said, renting them, right? The cost to do that in the transfer portal. For a safety right now, the going rate, this is a pretty wide range, and some of these are for sure, anywhere from $250,000 to $900,000 to buy a safety in the transfer portal right now. A corner, $250K up to $1 million for one single cornerback.
How about C-O-R-N-E-R.
Yes, secondary, defensive back. How about an interior defensive lineman? This one won't surprise people, given the news that we've seen. Low end, $500,000. High end, 1.5 to buy a defensive lineman in the portal. How about an edge rusher? How about another $500,000 up to $2 million for an edge guy? We flip to the offensive side of the football. Christian, I know you've looked at this list, but would you have ever imagined that the average price for a starting tight end would be $500,000 to $600,000? That's what the New York Times says. And this is based off of research. This is not an opinion piece. This is what they've done in research. And I don't care what your thoughts are on the New York Times. These numbers are legit, okay? We're not going to the political route here. Tight ends are anywhere from $500,000 to $600,000 on average. High end is nearly $1 million. That wide receiver you like, this number is...
I think that's on the low end.
This is on the low end because of what we've already heard, right? But on average, $500,000 to $1 million. $500,000 to $1 million. But we know that that number can triple, quadruple, yes, depending on who you are, right? Running back, lower than I thought, $400,000 to $900,000. But I could see a star running back taking home $1 million.
I could as well. I think college teams are realizing how nice it is to have that 1-2 punch, right? I feel like you're starting to see more of that.
Look at the college football playoff.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, yeah, Indiana with Roman Hemby, Kalon Black, when you have, I mean, just the...
Oregon's got a 3- or 4-headed snake.
Right, you have
not anymore. Did you see the news there? They're number two. They're freshman out for the year. Broke his collarbone.
Really?
In the Texas Tech game. Yes.
Is it Daniel Hill?
It is Jordan Davison. The star freshman leads the team in touchdowns and their second leading rusher out for the year.
Yeah, that does hurt.
Broke his collarbone and had surgery on it. So that hurts. But Oregon has two other guys that they rely on. So they're paying running backs big time money. All right, we continue looking at numbers here. New York Times says that the cost of doing business for an offensive tackle, not a guard, not a center, an offensive tackle, anywhere from $600,000 to $1.3 million.
And that number probably rises on the blind side of things.
Oh, yeah.
Just because we've heard that, I mean, from the movie itself, talking about that weak side, the blind side tackle is the second or third highest paid job in the NFL just because you're protecting what the quarterback can't see.
And this article says that a quarterback, going rate for a quarterback right now, you're not making less than seven figures. You're not making less than seven figures. And this range, I think this is the most murky one of them all on what people are paying for quarterbacks nowadays. It says $1 to $4 million, but I mean, name your price. Depending on what your name is, name your price. Imagine if, I mean, who's a big-name quarterback that didn't enter the transfer portal that's returning? I mean, Marcel Reed, guys we talked about earlier, Arch Manning, right? Those guys who are already making buku money at their current schools. That's what we don't talk about enough.
Just from the schools itself, not all of the extra deals and incentives.
Right.
Like Arch with Red Bull and everything like that, to where he probably could go sign for only $1 million and would still make more than just about everybody else. But yeah, Arch Manning could be one of those guys that asks for, again, even more than the high end of that $4 million mark.
So the positions we talked about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Just nine positions that we talked about. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, one offensive tackle, an edge rusher, interior defensive line, a corner, and a safety. So 9 of the 11 guys that you have on the football field, okay? Let's just take the average of those numbers we're looking at. Even if it is, what, a mil, probably, average?
Well, that's what I was going to say is 6 of these, the high end is over $1 million.
So, anywhere not from including, $10 to $15 million for a starting offense or defense?
Yeah, not including the two deeps. Because, in case you haven't seen this or in case you haven't thought about it, you still make money as a number two. You're not going to play if you're not guaranteed a starting job if you're not still going to be okay in your bank account.
It's just broken, man. It's a broken system.
And again, it's the fact, too, and I'm glad that people are finally bringing this up a little bit more. And I know Bruce Pearl had a big conversation about it either at the halftime show or in between a couple of the shows about what he would do. And he talked about Congress getting involved just so that way everything is not a suing or a defamation or whatever the case may be, with each situation being a little bit different. But he said, man, we got to stop this portal free agency. I mean, signing guys to 2 and 3 year deals, this is not a quarterback that you're going to pay $4 million for, but okay, we're going to go get him out of the portal. He's an upcoming junior, but we're guaranteeing him for his junior and senior year, or his sophomore, junior, and senior year. This is, well, we're going to pay you this to hopefully win 10 or more games. And if you don't like your situation after that,
you can leave.
Our hands are tied behind our back because we've already given you everything and you have absolutely no remorse. You have no sort of reason to pay us back.
Which is why, and I don't know the details of this, I would love to speak with somebody, even if it's off the record, as of late. I've done it in the past, but I'm talking like in this current portal cycle, somebody in that side of it that is seeing it in 2026 and what some of these contracts look like legally, because all these guys have agents now. Think about that. We're talking about college football players that have agents and agencies now, which means you've got lawyers on both sides and you've got all this legal language and jargon and things like that. I would love to hear and see what the language is and all of that because of a guy like Caden Proctor, who kind of set the standard of players will screw you over in a heartbeat, right? But their argument this entire time has been, well, a coach will leave just like that too. So I totally understand.
Yeah.
It's just the idea that everybody's got to protect themselves. All parties have to protect their own behinds in these situations.
And it's nice because you're having former college players and now NFL players or ex-NFL players come out and set the standard. And you obviously see a little bit more of it on the Auburn football side of things, but you have other big-name guys that are coming out on social media, either tweeting or on podcasts or videos, talking about the assurance and the reassurance of if I could say one thing to a current college athlete, it's that the agents and these agencies work for you.
Yeah.
They do not have your best interest at heart. They want you to go and make more money at this school or that school, but you have to be able to be the one that's grounded and understand that you have to still do what's best for you and that party is not going to do your best interests every single time.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild, man. The area that we're in right now in the college football transfer portal. So that's the cost of doing business. But who are some of the big names that have gone to new places? We'll talk about that in a short segment to wrap up hour number one. Transition into basketball as SEC play conference play is here. All of that coming up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrap it up. Hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And kind of rapid fire here, Christian. I want to read a couple of texts that we got in our on-the-line text box, which, again, is always open during every single show, 334-784-1067. You can also give us a call today. Phone lines are wide open. No guests, so you can come in and give us your thoughts on the transfer portal or anything else that we're talking about at 334-321-1390. Want to read this text here very quickly. It says if Auburn has $30 million, spend 15 on both lines, maybe 9 on the offensive line, 6 on the defensive line, 5 million on backs and receivers, 5 on the secondary and linebackers, and the last 5 for everything else, with QB being the big one. And that $30 million, right, is what Auburn reportedly kind of pledged to Alex Golish. And we got into this a hair yesterday. I don't have time for it today, maybe more on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, whatever. But the numbers that you're hearing of what teams have to spend is not really what it is, because there's the $20.5 million cap. There's this $30 million that Auburn's putting towards this. But then there's money that's on the book slash off the book slash an IOU, and we'll get it to you later, right? There's a lot of funky stuff going on right now. And so there is no concrete number, which makes that extremely difficult to discuss, but totally understand where the texter's coming from. Says also the most important thing, I think, is targeting the 4 to 10 ranked guys. Stay out of the Dollar Tree, but don't go to Nordstrom's either.
Okay, 4 to 10, as in like not 1, 2, or 3, but not dollar signs. But.
Yeah, no, 4 to 10 ranked guys.
Sure.
Like, rather than going, yeah, like he said, don't go to the Dollar Tree, which if you buy stuff there, it's fine. Hey, I buy my Christmas bags there every year and my wrapping paper. Sometimes it gets the job done, but I don't do my grocery shopping there. I also don't go to Nordstrom's because I don't make enough money for that.
I get my balloons from Dollar General.
What balloons are you buying?
It's been a while. Can't say I've bought too many balloons
in the years I've known you. I don't think I've ever seen you buy a balloon.
You're just not special.
Apparently. But I get it. I absolutely get where he's coming from. But rapid fire here. Teams that have gone to Nordstrom's or Louis Vuitton or Ruth's Chris to get themselves a nice steak and wine, which I am a huge fan of, by the way. If they would like to, you know, sponsor, that'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll happily go do it.
Please. I don't need to do the show. Just let me talk about it, and I will absolutely do it. No, rapid fire here. Names that have gone new places that have caught your eye over the last several days in the transfer portal.
I mean, when you look at the first couple of ones that came out with Sorsby to Texas Tech, and
I know.
His deal is we talked about 1-4. He's not in that mean.
Outlier.
Yeah, he is not in that average. Mestemaker, again, from North Texas, following his coach to Oklahoma State. Rocco Becht, obviously, making the jump from Iowa State to Penn State. Those don't necessarily surprise you too much. Josh Hoover to Indiana, I think, is a really good option.
It's
just
a really
because,
good one, yeah.
Again, Hoover not necessarily the most athletic guy, but Cignetti getting in the offensive line and did exactly what we've needed to talk about.
Another one-year rental in Bloomington.
Yes. But
third
again,
one in a row.
You go and you get the middle of the line, the upper tier, but not necessarily the S-tier receivers that just go and make an absolute unit. Austin Simmons, which you mentioned, now to Missouri. Hollywood Smothers was an interesting one from NC State to Alabama.
Yeah, that was a big one.
An interesting one. Did Wisner commit to Florida State, or is he just crystal balled?
You know who did commit to Florida State? Ashton Daniels.
Ashton Daniels.
He was getting ripped online. We got to go because he wore his Auburn backpack to visit. Who cares?
Yeah, I didn't think too much about it.
I didn't either.
Biggest one, though, Perry Thompson to Minnesota.
Minnesota! I hope you get that reference. If anybody that does, that video makes me laugh very hard. Okay, hour number one is in the book. Stick around. More coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get underway in the second hour of today's show. If you missed any of the first hour, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. We'll have that up on our station website for you right after we get off the air today. You can find it at ESPNAU.com. You can listen to the show live there every single day. Go back and listen to old shows there if you would like to. You can also do that in our Radio Alabama app. So be sure you go back and check all of that out, plus any contest that we're running, which we will have some coming up very soon. So be sure that you are checking back there frequently. And in hour number one, lots of transfer portal talk, as you can imagine, as Auburn secures Byron Brown, the South Florida QB, who is now signed. Auburn's posted a ton of things about it. It is official. So we talked a lot about that, plus the latest news in Auburn football transfer portal, and also what the official slash unofficial going rate is for specific positions in the transfer portal for college football. And the money might surprise some, but when you think about it, it probably won't surprise you all that much. All of that was in the first hour of today's show. Again, go back and check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, flipping a little bit more of a conversation into basketball. We're going to take a look at Auburn's schedule, break it up into three or four little sections. We're going to talk about some realistic expectations for this team in those groupings. If you need to go 4-1 in this section, if you need to just survive, possibly go 2-3. To where you're still in a good spot as you work your way into the postseason. What are some of those realistic expectations for this Auburn team updated now one game into SEC play? Where would that put Auburn into the postseason race? Where would that put them most likely in terms of a Joe Lunardi bracketology as you work your way into Selection Sunday in early March? Also going to take a look around the world. I guess around the country, rather. I mean, there could be some good basketball games in Europe tonight, but more so going to focus on the SEC and college basketball landscape, as there are some fantastic games tonight in the ACC. There's some good games in the Big Ten, the Big 12, and obviously in the SEC as well. And then we'll give our full thoughts and our full preview and prediction for Auburn and Texas A&M. The late tip inside Neville Arena here coming up tonight.
Yep, and so the entire hour, the text box is open as it is every single hour of every show at 334-784-1067. That's been very active today, so be sure if you have a thought, a question, comment, anything, you can always send it there, or you could call in to be on the air and be on the show at 334-321-1390. Text box number is 334-784-1067. Phone lines are open for the entire second hour, and we begin hour number two by getting to the phone lines with Slack. You're on the line. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys?
What's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, I guess the first thing is going back to the Saturday ball game. We had a chance to sub out our best player, but instead we let him stay on the court and he fouled out. What are your thoughts on that?
Thoughts on the Tahad, I'm assuming that's who you're talking about, on rather than picking up that fifth foul, somebody subbing in basically to stop the ball.
It was a timeout. Oh, it was a dead ball, and we had a chance to sub him out because we knew we had to foul, but we kept him on the court, and he fouled out.
Yeah.
And it took him out of the ball game with crucial time, overtime, and everything else.
It's a good point, too, or at worst, put him on the ball, right, rather than having to guard the inbounder. And Tahad did kind of look around at everybody else for a second to see if anybody was going to come up and foul, and everybody else was already in the front court, it looked like. And so, it's a really interesting thought, and it's something that's, to be honest, I hadn't given too much thought about, but makes a lot of sense. Because
you definitely missed him. You missed him when he fouled out.
If that's the case, you'd have five more minutes with him, and you feel like Tahad Pettiford running your offense in overtime brings you an ultimate level of comfort, and that goes without even saying our true feelings of we believe you should get another foul if it goes to overtime, right? If kids have fouled out, that's your five foul mark for 40 minutes. If you play 45 minutes, I'm in belief that you should get an extra foul, but that's obviously neither here nor there. But yeah, a really good point. And yeah, it's something definitely to think about, just whether that was a coaching decision or whether that was just a miscommunication on.
I think it was something that somebody just forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which again goes to talk about things that you don't think about until they happen, right? The little things that you once you get to this level, and not saying that SEC is where you don't think about things anymore, but right, the little things of free throws or the mental errors rather than the physical errors, things like that, you feel like have come back to haunt Auburn more than the physical errors this year and even going into past years as well.
Yeah. One more thing. Did y'all notice that Brown's agent is Drew Rosenhaus?
I don't know if I looked too deeply into it, to be quite honest with you. Is there?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I haven't looked into that deeply, I guess.
Yeah. Drew Rosenhaus.
Interesting. I mean, appreciate the call. It's like 334-321-1390. And the Byron Brown news is official. Again, that is happening. And to his point, yes, all of these guys are they are represented by, I mean, Byron Brown has his own website. I just found out he has Byron Brown has merch.
Oh yeah.
He's got merch. I didn't know that. You can go and buy Byron Brown t-shirts if you would like to. Sweatshirts, pullovers, jerseys, hoodies. They're actually kind of sweet.
That's a shameless plug. Because isn't his logo like the B? Yeah.
They're all South Florida colors, but you would assume that he'll update that. But no, a great stuff there from Slack. And that does bring us back to the college basketball conversation, right? As Auburn gets back into SEC play tonight, they have Texas A&M coming in for the SEC home opener at Neville Arena. Late tip, as you mentioned, 8 o'clock, one of those dreadful 8 p.m. starts. And look, we love going to the games. We love covering the games. We're very blessed to do that. But even for people at the game or watching on TV, listening on the radio, doing a combination of the three, man, it's late. Because these college basketball games, we know, they don't go 2 hours anymore. They're 2.5 hours, 2:15 if you're lucky. And on a weeknight, it is tough for some people to get to Neville Arena, which we have talked about this season in particular, right? The idea that Auburn simply doesn't have all that many good home games, right? You didn't have any other than one in non-conference play that I think was worth anything, which is NC State. And now you've got Texas A&M, Arkansas, South Carolina, Texas, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Ole Miss and LSU. I would put on my list of games that fans will be over the top, busting through the doors to get to Arkansas on Saturday, Alabama on February 7th, Vanderbilt, if they're still ranked in the top 15 as they are right now, and Kentucky. So what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. I put it at 4 home games for Auburn and SEC play that I think fans are going to be scrambling to get to the arena. The rest of them, and I promise you, this statement that I just made has nothing to do with Auburn. There is a time and a place for that, which we'll get to in a little bit. This is simply from their opponent standpoint. Fans aren't, I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know. But I don't think Auburn sells out against South Carolina. I don't think Auburn sells out against Texas. I don't think Auburn sells out against LSU in the second to last game of the year. Maybe because it's the last home game. I don't know. But I hope that tonight is a different story. It's the SEC home opener. You are coming off a loss to Georgia, trying to get in the win column for the first time this year in conference play. And Texas A&M's a talented team, and I know we're going to get to that game in particular, but tonight's important. It's very important compared, or especially with what the schedule looks like and how it's kind of broken up.
Yeah, and again, that's what we're going to dive into is splitting this season, this SEC slate, into sections. We did before the season and talked about what you needed to do to start the season. You have the middle section that you feel like is the toughest just from a game-by-game standpoint, and then you have a couple of them sprinkled into the final six games as well. But, yeah, I mean, when you're sitting there, you're looking at A&M, Arkansas, you get those back-to-back games. You get South Carolina at home. You do get Texas. They're going to come to Auburn for the first time. And then you get Alabama and Vanderbilt. That's your only other than I guess you do have one. You have two of them after this week of Alabama, Vanderbilt back-to-back home, and then Ole Miss and LSU. Mm-hmm. But – yeah, you're in a unique spot if you're Auburn, because you have a couple of the really big games, but you also have a couple games that you have to hype yourself up about again, and hoping that Neville Arena will play a big factor in that, and it should. And if we have to come on air tomorrow and talk about Neville Arena not being a big factor in this game tonight, then there's obviously talks of concerns later on, but I don't think that will be a true issue. But yeah, I mean, Auburn needs to get back into the win column, get back to feeling good, because again, we've talked about it, this Arkansas team that's coming to town on Saturday is arguably the most complete or most talented team on the court in the SEC.
Yeah, and you look at what Auburn's road trips are, just for you know, argument's sake here, Missouri, Ole Miss, Florida. I know, Auburn, it's been a long time since you've won there. Tennessee will be tough. Arkansas will be tough. Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Alabama, your road games are not that daunting. You just played one of your tougher ones on the schedule. You probably just played your third toughest road game of the conference schedule at Georgia, maybe fourth, maybe. I'm not worried about Oklahoma or Mississippi State. I know the hump can get kind of crazy, and Auburn's record there isn't great, but
I worry a little bit more than you do about that. Obviously, Florida, Tennessee, yeah. Arkansas, and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, you played one that ended up being one of your tougher games, but it was one of those ones that we talked about prior to SEC play and before you even really got into the heart of non-con play, that we said that it needed to be a win.
Yeah,
going to Stegman Coliseum. And so when you're looking at these first six games, if we're splitting them up that way into thirds, you have Georgia, you have A&M, Arkansas, Missouri, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. You have three road games and three home games, and one of the ones that you hoped was a win, that you felt like you needed to get a win inside Stegman Coliseum, you didn't get. Now, obviously, when you're looking at it, the Georgia team is better than advertised, and Auburn may not have been or may not be exactly what we hoped or what we thought was advertised in the preseason. Still think they're a really, really good team, but what do you expect now in the first six games? Is this a you have to win all of your home games and steal one on the road that puts you at 4-2? Are you still at the point of 5-1? You need to get over that hump and basically make up for a win that you didn't get at Georgia. Where are you at for the first six?
I think Auburn basketball is talented enough to win their next five in a row. I think you are talented enough to beat Texas A&M tonight, to beat Arkansas on Saturday, which would be an upset, to go on the road and handle business against Missouri, come back and beat South Carolina on what I believe would be a Saturday afternoon,
yeah,
and then beat Ole Miss in Oxford on a weeknight late tip, another 8 o'clock tip in Oxford. Auburn is a good enough basketball team at their peak to win those five games in a row. The question is, can they do it? And it starts tonight. It starts tonight. Because I think A&M is building some momentum. I think they know who they are. They play Bucky ball. Again, Bucky McMillan, the new head coach there at Texas A&M, because Buzz Williams left to go to Maryland. They have an identity. They will run, they will shoot, and they'll play defense when they want to. And Auburn cannot fall into the trap of playing A&M's game tonight. More on that in our final big segment of this hour, but I think Auburn can win those games. But I'll say what I said on Friday when you had to dip out and Jack filled in for you about the Georgia game. Until I see it, I can't give Auburn that credit. I cannot sit here and confidently say Auburn's ripping off five wins in a row. Not yet. Not away from Neville Arena. Not against a top 15 team in Arkansas. Not until I see it. Tonight will tell me a lot. Tonight will tell me a lot. From multiple factors, multiple players, and multiple storylines. More on that later. But I think if you...
Are you good with would 3-2 over the next five get you to 3-3? Is that good enough, or
no.
It needs to be 4-1 to where you're 4-2 after six games?
4-1 needs to be the minimum for me. You split the next five, or you go 3-2 the next five games. I don't care what combination it is, with some home, with a home loss in there or two.
Yeah, there would be one.
Yeah, I mean, you.
Or I guess unless you
the vibes would be really bad. The vibes would be really bad heading to Florida, returning for Texas, and then hitting what is now four straight top 25 teams in a row with Tennessee, Bama, Vandy, Arkansas.
Yeah.
You have to get some wins in the next 2 weeks. Must.
So that 4-2 stretch over the first six, again, we've talked about it, that middle stretch of six games with at Florida, you host Texas, and then at Tennessee, you do have your one bye in the midweek between Tennessee and Alabama. You're then home for Alabama. You're home for Vanderbilt, which is going to be huge following, again, that bye in the midweek, and then you're at Arkansas. And so quickly before break, I know we'll dive into this and may carry over a minute or two into the next segment, but those middle six, we've talked about being that toughest stretch where you feel like you need to survive. If Auburn is at 4-2, where do you need to see Auburn after 12 games? Is that a 2-4? Is that a 3-3? Just doing whatever you can to survive? Or are you still at the point with three tough road games and then the home games of Texas, Vanderbilt, and Alabama right in between all of those ranked games?
I want to answer that when we come back. We are going to get to Andy here quickly before we get to break. He's been on hold for several minutes. Want to make sure he's got some time to talk to us. 334-321-1390. Andy, Happy New Year, my friend. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. 2026. War Eagle, and hope you guys had good holidays, good break. Good to be back in action. So this is when I get to go to basketball games when the kids are away and we get to sit down in the jungle. So that's cool. you know, when I saw some of the comments about Coach Steve Pearl, I couldn't believe the hate, man. Like, again, I was at the game the other day and Steve threw out a very loud GD, which I'm against. You know, you never hear Coach Pearl say that. So not a huge, huge fan. But again, for what Pearl did, I mean, give the guy a break. You're not going to bring in a new coach like that and just have, even Pearl had seasons where we'd win one, lose one. I mean, it wasn't just all winning every game, undefeated. I mean, sure, he had those years, but just the flip-flopping of emotions and the hate so early.
Right. There's never going to be that seamless transition, even just between seasons, much less you bring in as much change and a whole new coach.
Right. And I said it on y'all's show where I was at that dinner and Coach Pearl was talking and he had some wine, so I know he was being honest and said, you know, he intended on coaching one or two more years, but just at the practices, the mentality of the players wasn't the same because NIL, you know how it is. And this wasn't some, you know, scheme to get his son coaching. I mean, it is what it is. So, again, just calm the hate down and give the guy a break. Again, not even a huge fan of him, but just a fan of sports and class. And that's what Auburn always was and rapidly losing it over the past couple of years. So help it stay classy or keep it classy, right?
Sure, no doubt about it. Andy, appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you as always, a loyal listener, loyal caller as well. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. The rest of the show, as is the text box at 334-784-1067. We continue talking college basketball after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7. This is the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin talking college basketball, Auburn basketball, and everything on the hardwood right now as the Tigers back in action tonight against Texas A&M. We'll dive deep into that game coming up at 3:30 for what will be an intriguing matchup for Auburn. A sneaky matchup as well that the Tigers have to be ready for. We talked to Andy right before we went to break, and he had some comments about Auburn fans and just the attitude towards the team right now, and asking people maybe to calm down just a little bit, and that it's going to be okay. But we get to the phone lines again, which are open the rest of the show at 334-321-1390. And Mark, you're on the line, my man. What's on your mind on this Tuesday?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to add something that to what Andy, I totally agree with what he said. One thing about Auburn fans, and right, wrong, or whatever, we are the most impatient people that any fans that I've ever seen. For instance, with the Stephen Pearl, we brought in, 10 new players. It's not going to gel immediately. You know, it's going to take a while, whether he gets it right, wrong. It's just going to take time for those guys to, I guess, bond, and he's guiding them the way he sees that he needs to do it. And the fans do. They need to, you know, whether you like him or whether you dislike him, he is Auburn's coach. So we got to support that. But it made me think about the message boards while Auburn fans were waiting on Byron Brown. I mean, there were people calling for Golish, just, you know, saying that he was the wrong person for the job, saying John Cohen needed to be run off. It just seems like we have a part of our fan base that are just so impatient. We want everything, and they want it right now. I mean, it's not on the time that it takes, but right this immediate moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask, and this is more along the lines of the team, how many underclassmen do we have?
For football or basketball?
Basketball, I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, so for Auburn basketball, as of right now, when you look at the roster breakdown, right, it's actually a pretty good mix. Underclassmen, I'll give you sophomore, freshman, right, is what that would be considered. You've got 11 underclassmen, right, because of Abdul Bashir as a junior. You have Keyshawn Hall as a senior. Keyshawn Murphy is a senior. You have a couple of more juniors, including Kevin Overton, and Reed Trapp is also a senior with C.J. Williams. But everybody else, freshman, sophomore, examples of Sway, Simon Walker, of course. You have Tahad Pettiford,
right,
who's technically a sophomore too. So you have
seven underclassmen that play minutes. Obviously, Oporum,
yeah,
you take out. So six underclassmen that have or at least plan on, with Simon Walker being in that conversation as well, being underclassmen that have seen the floor.
Well, that doesn't really, you know, in today's world, that doesn't mean as much as it did before the transfer portal. So I was just wondering what the potential next year would look like. So, but, you know, anybody who could answer that, I need to get lotto numbers from.
That's you're anyway, exactly right.
You guys have a great afternoon.
You too, Mark.
Appreciate
the call
it.
And appreciate the input and the question as well. And that's the problem, right, is trying to break down what Auburn basketball's roster looks like. Because, yeah, you'd love to say that Elijah Freeman comes back for his junior year and Philip Jovic as the however old he is, 21, 22, I forget, but he's considered a freshman coming from overseas. Caden Magwood, freshman point guard, right? You'd love to say that all those guys, I believe Tahad Pettiford's coming back for his junior year. You'd love to say that, but you just simply don't know.
Yeah. There's so many questions, and that's what, again, dives into, we talk more about it on the college football side of things, but you see even more of it on the college basketball side of things. And Jack and I talked a little bit about that on After the Game following our Saturday show, just about how NIL can affect basketball more than any other sport, because when you're looking at football, you have 11 players, right? So every player makes up 11 or 9% of each play, rather than in basketball, you only have five guys on the floor. So that's 20%. So that's why you're seeing some of these teams that have put a little bit more into it. You're seeing that growth. But again, the one-year rentals makes it ever so confusing of, well, is it even worth me learning this entire roster? Because I don't even know if they're going to be here next year. And going back to the first point that Mark made, wait until we make the fan base really happy when we talk about limiting football expectations later on throughout the year.
Yeah, patience is virtue? Is that what people used to say? I don't even think today's generation knows what that means anymore. And that's not just an Auburn fan problem, Mark. That's a society problem nowadays, my man. So we'll continue talking Auburn basketball.
Back in my day, we had that.
Yeah, we'll talk more Auburn basketball against Texas A&M coming up, plus the rest of the schedule. Stick around.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking college basketball, talking Auburn basketball, as Stephen Pearl and the boys are back inside of Neville Arena tonight. Late tip, 8 o'clock Central Time for the SEC home opener as Bucky McMillan and Texas A&M come to town. I think this will be a very fun game. I expect this to be back and forth. And maybe not even on the scoreboard, but literally up and down the floor. I think this will be a fun game to watch. I think it will be an exhausting game to watch. I think it's one that has some serious implications early on in SEC play. We're going to look at the SEC in just a moment before we dive into Auburn and A&M itself. Tigers favored by 6.5.
Yeah, right
tonight.
On the touchdown.
Yeah, Texas A&M 11-3 on the season. They are tied for first in the SEC because they are 1-0 on the season with a dramatic win over LSU over the weekend, 75-72. Not pretty at all, but they got it done. And so I do want us to look at the SEC. I know you wanted to do that too. Look at the SEC, kind of where we are, one game in, right, since we didn't have a huge chance to kind of preview the season as a whole. But pretenders, contenders, some teams that are kind of up in the air, how would you kind of categorize some of those teams before we talk Auburn and A&M?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to sit there and look at the tier list of the predictions from preseason to now, where it was basically Florida and Kentucky at the top. Arkansas was kind of right there in that conversation, but still not quite. But it was, man, can Florida repeat? Mm-hmm. Or can Kentucky, who just bought one of the more expensive rosters in college basketball in year two with Mark Pope, who overexceeded expectations in year one, what can he do in year two? I believe Florida was the number one overall seed going into the season with bracketology, which not even a Joe Lunardi thing, but just goes to show you preseason rankings are stupid.
Florida 9-5 on the year.
Yeah, and again, they've played some really tough opponents. Tonight will be another big tale for them, where they host Georgia, where they're almost double-digit favorites in that game, even though Georgia is ranked and Florida is not. But that'll be a really interesting game. Again, we both have given our thoughts out with Arkansas. It'll be interesting when we talk with Jordan Hill here in a couple of days about if his thoughts continue to change for the Georgia Bulldogs, because he was at the point, and we've talked about this, of before the season, it was they're going to try and make the tournament. And we both kind of said, like, really? Like, that's it with Mike White, who is a heck of a coach with a roster that looks like it has all of the offensive firepower, and you've seen that come to fruition. One of the highest scoring teams in the country, one of, if not the most efficient offense in the country. Does that change with Georgia? Are they trying to now get above the hump rather than just make the tournament, try and make a little bit of noise in the tournament, finish in the top half of the SEC? Still so many questions with Missouri and South Carolina, and Ole Miss was expected to make a little bit of noise as well, and they've flown under the radar just a little bit. Ole Miss 8-6, they're 0-1 in SEC play. Mississippi State with Josh Hubbard returning, what can they look like?
He looked good the other night
with Chris Jans. Did he? Points-wise.
Yo, he scored a lot. He shot a lot, too.
What was his final? It was like 38 points on 32
or 38 or something
shots.
Like that. I,
It was ridiculous.
I know he didn't pass the ball.
Interest purposes only.
I know he didn't break an assist record that night. That's what I know. Don't ask me why I know.
Let's see. His final line. He had 38 points, was 10 of 31.
God.
He was 6 of 17 from 31
shots.
Yeah.
They hardly shoot that much in the NBA. Jaylen Brown did last night. My God, what a horrible game he had for the Celtics.
But Josh Hubbard, the team shot 33 threes. Josh Hubbard shot over half of them. He was 6 of 17. They were 10 of 33 as a team. He shot 17. Their other guard shot 12. The other team combined for 4. They were the only two starters to shoot threes.
That's terrible.
Such a weird way of looking at it. But came up clutch late in the second half and in overtime, was 12 of 15 from the free throw line. And that's one of those guys that, man, he could go 0 for 9 to start the game and could make 6 straight shots and all of a sudden work your way back into the game, because all he needs to do is see one go down. Mississippi State right in that question mark category, which you feel like a bunch of these SEC teams are, which for better or for worse, you feel like that's the way that a lot of these coaches would like for it to be, right? You don't want to have yourselves figured out in January. You want to continue to get better, continue to work out all of the wrinkles. And again, we're one game into conference play with a bunch of these teams playing really, really tough non-conference schedules, to where a 3 or a 4 or 5 loss team may end up being a really good team. You just ran into a gauntlet early in the year.
I hate to say this because of who comes to town on Saturday, but I'm sticking with my guns. I said it 4 or 5 games into the regular season, and I'm sticking with it until they prove me otherwise, and I may get burned for putting my eggs in the basket of John Calipari.
Just do it up until Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
Up until the second round.
Up until the tournament, then I'll be okay. Arkansas is my team. That is the team that I kind of hitched my wagon to early, because their roster is legit and they have proven it to me on the floor. What's fascinating is it's some of the guys that we didn't even think it was going to be. Right? Nick Pringle's on that team. He's averaging 5 points a game. DJ Wagner's on that team. He's averaging 8 points a game. But Darius Acuff averaging almost 20. Malik Thomas out of nowhere averaging 15 a game. And the X Factor's Trayvon Brazil. That dude is an animal. Averages 13.7 rebounds per game. Also averaging a steal and a half a game, a block and a half per game. And he can hit shots from the outside.
It's a team that shoots almost 49% from the floor and 39.1% from deep. And something that is a very different thing than what you've seen in the past with a Calipari team, they don't turn the ball over.
They don't turn it over.
They average less than 10 turnovers a contest.
And they play pretty good defense as well. I mean, that's a team that lost to Michigan State by 3, who's a top 10 team in the country. Not that I'm giving out good lost passes here, because I hate that. Struggled against Duke, turned around and beat Louisville, also beat Texas Tech, took Houston to the wire, and opened up SEC play with a nice win over Tennessee on Saturday in a top 15 match or a top 20 matchup. Arkansas is legit, dude. They really are. And look at their schedule. It's not bad at all. Their schedule is easy, in my opinion. Arkansas is the team to watch for me. I said it early. I'll say it again. I think the Hogs are legit, and they come to Neville Arena this Saturday evening, 5 o'clock tip inside of that building. But do you have one more thing to add?
I was going to say putting a bow on Auburn's schedule and wrapping up those. Yeah. And so you said 4-2 in the first 6 games, right?
Now, yeah.
That's what the expectation needs to be now. We said 5-1 just because you felt like it needed to be that win in Stegman Coliseum. But I guess going through this rather fast so we can turn the page and talk a little bit more about Auburn and Texas A&M, the matchup tonight in Neville Arena. But the next 6, Florida, Texas, at Tennessee, home for Bama with the bye week in there, no midweek game in between Tennessee and Alabama. You do have the back-to-back home games with Alabama and Tennessee, and then at Arkansas. So at Ole Miss, at Florida, home for Texas, at Tennessee, home for Alabama, and home for Vanderbilt.
Wait, hold on.
Is that right?
No, hold on. A&M, Arkansas, Missouri. No, hold on. Georgia, A&M, Arkansas, Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss. We're going Florida, yeah. Texas, Tennessee, Bama, Vandy, Arkansas.
Arkansas. That's right. It is that four-game stretch.
We got to play Arkansas twice.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
So those six, that middle six with four ranked games in a row.
Oh, God.
That is, again, that's what we've talked about, how we described the football season this past year of that middle stretch is the survive.
Given how this Auburn team is playing right now, you're lucky to get two wins.
I was
going to
say, rapid fire, do you beat Florida?
No.
In the swamp? Do you beat Texas?
At home, yes.
So 1-1. Do you beat Tennessee on the road?
Not right now.
Do you beat Alabama at home?
Nope.
That's 1-3.
I'll give you the win against Vanderbilt.
Do you beat Vanderbilt?
I'll give you Vanderbilt.
So that's 2-3.
You're not going to Fayetteville and winning.
So that's a 2-4 stretch over the middle part of your season.
Mm-hmm.
That then puts you at 6-6.
Got to think about where the vibes are going to be at that point. Because you're heading into mid-February, early March.
Yeah. That being said, you then have your final six games, which benefit you a little bit more. Just because, again, you just played your gauntlet of a schedule. But from your perspective, from what your prediction is, a 4-2 start, a 2-4 middle of the stretch. That puts you at 6-6 with six games remaining. And that is Mississippi State on the road, home for Kentucky, at OU, home for Ole Miss, home for LSU, and at Alabama. So rapid fire, without thinking about it too much. Do you win at State?
Yes.
Do you beat Kentucky at home?
Yes.
Do you beat OU on the road?
Yes.
That's 3-0. Home for Ole Miss?
Yep.
4-0. Home for LSU?
Mm-hmm.
5-0. At Alabama?
I mean, probably not.
So that puts you at 5-1.
4-2 at worst. If you slip up on the road in the hump.
Sure. So we'll say 4-2. All of a sudden, that goes 6-6 to 10-8.
Which isn't great. That's not Auburn standard, but...
No, but given how the year has gone so far, given the crazy year of college basketball, and given how we have no true answers on what the SEC is going to look like.
Or what Auburn
is going to look like. One game in to the SEC schedule, where Auburn is currently 9-5, 0-1 in SEC play, would you take 10-8?
I would. Yeah, I would.
To go 10-7 over the next 17 SEC games?
Yeah. Given what we don't know about Auburn and what we don't know about the SEC, which is what you said, yes, I would take 10-8 right now. That puts Auburn, you get probably a single bye in the SEC tournament. You're probably a top, I'm trying to think of what seed you would be in the NCAA tournament.
I guess a
6, 7, 8 seed, somewhere in there, just depending on what happens around the country as well. And I think right now, on the 6th of January, one game into SEC play, yeah, I think I would take that.
I think I would as well. We posed that similar question for football season over the next four games. Would you take 2-2? I said yes, you said no, right? Because you said you wanted to go play those games of OU, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Missouri.
Yeah.
And that stretch was 0-4. So
Yeah.
So you if I handed you the envelope right now, and you could sign it, you could seal it, and you could send it off.
Deal or no deal, baby.
Yep. Yeah. You couldn't pick the wins, you couldn't pick the losses, but I told you that you went 10-7 over the next 17 games and you finished 10-8 in SEC play.
Yeah. I take it.
I
take it and run.
I think I would as well. And the crazy thing about the SEC, I think a lot of teams would as well.
Sure, why not? For a conference that is not as good as it was a year ago,
but the middle of the pack is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are very few nights off.
There will be a team, I've predicted this the entire offseason, there will be a team, if not multiple teams, that go 8-10 in SEC play that make the tournament.
Probably, yeah. But I wonder how those teams end up performing in the tournament. That's conversations for at a later date when we get closer to that. But yes, I would take 10-8 for Auburn basketball.
An 8-10 team in the SEC would have two or three really good upsets in there.
Sure, depending on what their non-conference slate looked like too, they could get some love in the NCAA tournament. So okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We will dive into A&M. We'll wrap up the show talking about that. Got a phone call we're going to get to as well. All that coming up on our final segment here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines one more time before we give our final thoughts, initial and final thoughts on Auburn and Texas A&M, 334-321-1390. James, you're on the line, my friend. I got a minute or two for you. What's going on?
Hey, bud, thanks for taking my call. This call is probably at least a week too late, but the holidays kind of prevented it. But, you know, with all the players leaving, I know all the fans, including me, you know, we're all kind of, I know, caught off guard about all the transfer portal, you know, defections, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought about this, and I'm just going to give you my 2 cents worth. This just didn't start with Hugh Freeze. It started back in 2020, and what I call the powers to be wanted to get rid of Gus. Gus never had a losing season as a head coach at Auburn University. And granted, you know, we all had our doubts at times, but he never had a losing season. But the powers that be always wanted to meddle. They were chasing Alabama. They were chasing Georgia. And they fired. And look what happens. You get the potato famine. That speaks for itself. Then you bring in Freeze. And look what the last, you know, basically 3 seasons have left us in. 5 consecutive seasons of losses, of losing. And so I feel great for Coach Golish. I think he'll do a good job. But I just hope the powers to be will let the man do his job and don't meddle in it. Look what their meddling has done the past 5 years. You know, give the man a chance and, you know, and hope things turn out. But I just wanted to get that off my chest. And your comments and opinions or what you think about that, I'd appreciate what you have to say. And great show, and I enjoy it. Thank you much.
Yeah, appreciate the call there, James. And fascinating comments on the football side of things.
It is.
My thought, really quickly.
Sure.
I agree with him because it's been a problem at Auburn for quite some time. But I think, remember earlier I said, even in this horrible era of college athletics that we're in, there are some bright spots. I think NIL and the transfer portal have limited folks like that from having major opinions in what happens in a college football program, because money is what makes you competitive now.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but rather than all these people with 30 different opinions who step in and make sure you know that they have an opinion and they voice it and make all these changes and drastic moves, I think we're getting to an era like professional football where, sure, there's bad owners and bad GMs and things like that, but at the end of the day, it's about, are you going to spend the money and are you going to construct a good roster that's competitive? And I think Auburn's starting to get to that point.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Pros and cons of both sides of things. Mine's a little bit more simple, and again, agreeing with James of, you've gone this way for so long and it hasn't worked.
Yep.
You're at a new spot with a new coach. Why not try something new? Why not? And I think that's what you're seeing with incentive-based NIL. I think you're seeing that with the idea of Durkin keeping the defense, Golish and Cody Burns taking over the offense primarily. Things have to change just because of what you've done over the past several years. You have not seen it go in the right direction. So
yeah, look in the mirror. I mean,
so why, very simply put, why not change?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Appreciate the call there to end the show. And we will talk basketball for just a couple of moments as Auburn and Texas A&M do battle tonight, 8 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. We will both be there covering the game as credential media members. So we hope to see a lot of people there. Hope to see some of you there. If you do and see us, come say hello. We'd love to talk with you guys. But for anybody
and
that
don't
is...
don't buy me nachos.
Yeah,
or pretzels or anything.
Especially
don't
the ones with
it.
All the meat and stuff on them. Don't buy those.
Or the cinnamon, again, not the pretzels with cinnamon sugar.
That's right.
Do not get those.
But for people who cannot make it to the game, or maybe you're on your way in or on the way out of the arena, be sure you tune in to the radio broadcast on the Auburn Sports Network, which we will have for you over on Wings 94.3. Pregame begins at 7:30 with tip-off set for 8 o'clock inside of Neville Arena between Auburn and Texas A&M, where the Tigers are favored by just about a touchdown over the Aggies tonight as Auburn tries to pick up its first SEC win of the season. Guys, you need to know, Ruben Dominguez is someone that is extremely talented at the guard spot. He leads A&M in scoring. You also have a couple of more guards that I really like. Marcus Hill is someone who I think makes them go, and when he plays well, A&M plays well. And size advantage or disadvantage, Auburn might be somewhat okay here.
Yeah, rebounding numbers are just about even.
I look at this like I look at the Georgia game, where you have a chance to win the rebounding battle. You have a chance to limit possessions for a team that shoots a lot of threes and forces long rebounds, which can lead to offensive boards, which we also know best time to shoot a three is off the offensive rebound. Our friend Jimmy Dykes says that all the time. But I think Auburn's the better team.
Yeah.
Show up, play with some energy, get the message from Stephen Pearl, and see if you can beat a solid Texas A&M squad tonight.
The biggest thing and the one factor in this basketball game will be the things that Stephen Pearl addressed after the loss to Georgia, of how the guards have to take an interest in playing one-on-one and winning one-on-one matchups on the defensive end of the floor, because half-court identity was not detectable against Georgia. When you have guards go for 31 and 24, if you get a similar performance to that for Texas A&M, they're going to run you out of the gym. This Texas A&M team shares the basketball really, really well. Average over 20 assists a game, 21 assists a game. Auburn has to take pride in their man-to-man defense. If you can do that, I think you walk out with a win.
8 o'clock tip, Wings 94.3. We're back tomorrow to talk about it, plus more portal news in Auburn and around the SEC as well. We are back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.